I'd like to share a few thoughts this morning. And it's some of the scriptures that I've read recently, but I've been getting so much good out of it. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. The 17th verse. He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But in them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I was thinking about these verses, and they just have a lot of meat. They have a lot of deep things that God has given in them. And I want to probably maybe start with this last verse, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I'd like to look at 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And the first verse. It said, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, and his master and honorable. Because of him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. The king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I wonder, this scripture came to my mind, that Naaman had certain thoughts in his mind about how God or the prophet would heal him. And the Lord went totally contrary, completely against what his thoughts were. He thought the prophet would come down. Elisha never came out of the house. He sent his servant. And I believe the Lord this morning knew what he was doing. He does not cater to man's pride or to man's stubbornness or to man's self-will. The Lord doesn't cater to those things. He will not cater to our pride. When I look back in my own life, I can see places of pride that I've had in my life that I believe the Lord is trying to purge out of me, and there may be other places of pride in me that I don't see. Pride is a difficult thing to see. We don't many times recognize. And Naaman here was full of pride. He didn't see it. And God asked him through the prophet. I believe the Lord inspired the prophet to say what he said. But he didn't come down. And he told him to go dip in the Jordan River. And I'm sure he saw what the Jordan River looked like. And he compared it to his rivers. He said, why can't I dip at the rivers at home? And it probably looked very foolish to him in his mind and his heart. It looked very, very foolish for him to go into the Jordan, get out, get back in, get out, get back in, get out, get back in, get out, seven different times. I'm sure it looked foolish to him. It did. It sounded foolish to him. But that's what God said. That's what the Lord told him to do. He could have went back home and dipped in his rivers seven times near his home, and I don't think he would have received the healing. It wasn't the Jordan River. It wasn't that the Jordan had anything in it to heal him. It was obedience to God. It was surrendering his thoughts, surrendering his will to what the Lord. And I'm very challenged this morning because this affects all of us. We all have thoughts. We all have human reasonings. Lord, help us to surrender our thoughts and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is the head. Christ is the head of the church, but He operates through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And we've got to move when the Lord tells us to move. We've got to respond when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. I read there in Acts where they were seeking the Lord, they were praying, they were fasting. And it says the Holy Spirit said unto them, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them to do. Now I don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke to them. I don't know if it was through a dream. I don't know if it was just the inspiration of somebody getting up and giving what God had given to them. I don't really know. It just said the Holy Spirit, and we recognize that the church was subject to the Spirit of God. We have nothing. We have nothing without God's Spirit and without His anointing, without His directions, without His... We have nothing. He is the head of the body. Who am I to argue with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit... But that's what happens. The Holy Spirit will speak. He will talk to us. He will put something in our hearts. And all of a sudden our human mind, our human thoughts begin to run. Well, I can't do this. This won't work out. This won't happen. How dumb is that going to look? And we miss the blessing. I'm very challenged this morning in my own heart and life. Lord, help me to not argue with the Holy Spirit. It's so easy to do. It's so easy for us to get in a place where we're serving God on our terms. Where we're serving God on our boundaries, the things that we set up in our mind that I'll do this, I won't do that, I'll do this, I won't do that. We can set up boundaries in our own heart, in our own mind. And we miss the blessing that the Lord has for us. The prophet, and I feel like so many times people struggling and trying to find God, trying to get a hold of the Lord, and I feel like, I believe this morning it's surrender is the answer. The Lord will not work on our terms. He'll work on His terms. He's the head of the body. We are not the head. We're just a little member that God wants to work through. We can't figure it out. There's sometimes people that, and it says, the world by wisdom knew not God. People struggle in their minds, trying to figure God out, trying to figure out how to live, trying to figure out who God is. And we've got to come to a place of surrender. We can spend our entire life learning, and it said, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth if we're serving God on our terms. Lord, help us, help me today, help us to offer a Lord, not my will, Lord, but Your will be done. Help us to offer the Lord our human mind. We've got reasons, we've got things that get in God's way of doing what He would like to do. And the Lord leads through the path of humility many times. That scripture we read in Corinthians, it said that no flesh should glory in His presence. God wants the glory. He wants the honor. He wants the recognition. We're nothing. We're nothing before Him. We're nothing without Him. And that's the way He works. He works through the paths of humility. He works through places that look like they turn us off. He said, Naaman, he turned and went away in a rage. He was mad. He was upset. And sometimes we can turn away also from the path that the Lord, and we could say, you know, we can reason, Lord, I don't know how that's going to work. You know, we don't have to know how it's going to work. We trust God to make it work. I don't know the ins and outs. I don't know. It's too big for me. I don't know the future. I don't know. I barely know the past. We have to trust God in His leadership. We have to trust the Holy Spirit. We have to offer ourselves a willing sacrifice to be humiliated, to be whatever, that God would get glory and honor to His name. The scripture we read in 17th verse, it said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, not with eloquence, not with things that sound good. He said, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. The cross is the place where we surrender and we give ourselves to God. That's where the power of God is. And that's where we can find Him, when we humble ourselves before Him and ask, and we become willing to allow Him to have His way, His will, and His way in our hearts and our lives. I think sometimes we can really fight against the will of God in our flesh, and we can fight against the cross. The cross doesn't look very attractive. The way of the Lord doesn't look very attractive many times. Our flesh likes to recoil from that. But that's where the power of God comes in, is when we yield ourselves and we become obedient to the Lord Jesus in our lives, to the Holy Spirit. We say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes, whatever You're calling for in my life, whatever You design, whatever You desire. I can't figure it all out, but I'm going to trust You that You know what's right and that You know the right path." The Lord worked this way over and over in the Old Testament with Gideon. You know, he reduced their men from, I don't know how many they started out with, thousands, but they reduced them down to hundreds. But he said, "Lest Israel vaunt themselves, that by their hand they had won the victory." He reduced them down to hardly nothing compared to what they were up against. And doesn't that kind of look a little bit ridiculous? You're going to go out and fight this great army, and you take these pictures with lights in them, and you take this trumpet, and that's your weapons. That's what you're going. Looks foolish. But you know, Gideon obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. You know, when we obey the Lord, there's a blessing that comes when we obey God. What about the woman in, see, Matthew, the 15th chapter? Matthew 15. In verse 22, it says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But He answered her not a word." Didn't answer a word to her. Didn't give her any response. What would we do at that point? You know, many people turn away from God when they don't get an answer, or they don't get the answer they want. "And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.'" You know what He said? "But He answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" I believe what the Lord saw in this woman was great faith, great humility, and He was trying to bring it out. But it was an humble path. She was basically called a dog. "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She didn't turn away in a rage like Naaman did. This woman humbled her heart. And she said, Truth, Lord. In other words, you're right on. I am not worthy of your blessing. I am not worthy of who you are and what you can do. But she said, Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'm not worthy to sit at the table and eat the choice foods. But the dogs eat the crumbs. She humbled her heart before God. And the Lord spoke to her. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I believe the Lord works this way today. I believe He chooses paths of humility, places of lowliness, that He can be honored, places of weakness, places of infirmity, that He can be honored and He can be glorified. My prayer is today, Lord, teach me, teach us how to humble ourselves, truly humble ourselves and surrender ourselves to you and allow you to have your will and your way in our life. I believe the Lord will bless if we're able to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The Scripture teaches submission. Submit yourselves under the hand of God. Submit yourselves one to another. You know, when we bring ourselves under, we're bringing ourselves under the hand of God. Our self-will, our stubbornness, our pride, sometimes it can stand in the way of us receiving the blessing and having what God wants us to have. I know the Lord is faithful. I know the Lord works. I know the Holy Spirit works. But it's through the path of humility. It's through the path of lowliness. And I want to submit myself under the hand of God. Because that's where the Lord meets us. That's where the Lord speaks to us and talks to us. Pray for me. I appreciate your attention this morning.